welcome to Insurance Talk. I'm Sharia Martinen, and I have Rex Lisser in the studio today. And we are going to be going over 2024 insurance predictions.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm whipping out my crystal ball.
We're whooping out the crystal ball to tell you what you can expect from 2024 when your insurance either renews or you decide to buy new insurance.
Yeah, there's lots of things going on. Insurance has been kind of dynamic lately. And I guess we could talk about, you know, the old Chinese proverb, you know, may you live in interesting times, which was not necessarily a good proverb. We're definitely in interesting times.
We're living in interesting times, and it's not from COVID anymore, but it seems like it's all just still being affected.
Yep. All of the inflation, all of the things that happened during COVID. We did have a major shift in so many things that happens in our country, and probably the inflation that we've been suffering through is one of the biggest. And it's with insurance and the inflation can take a couple of years for it to actually work its way into the rates and into underwriting and so on. And that's kind of what we're seeing now.
So looking into the future, we're going to talk about commercial lines first. So that means individuals that are purchasing insurance for their businesses. Mm-hmm. This is going to be individuals that maybe have a business rental, or they are running a business and they have multiple vehicles in that business or equipment. So we're going to focus on that first.
Well, one of the things that's happening,
we might as well talk about property.
We're going to talk about property. Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Commercial property.
Yes.
And what is happening is that it's continuing to be difficult to do commercial property. The insurance companies and their partners, the reinsurance companies, are driving rate because of all the losses that the insurance companies have suffered over the last 10 years.
And you guys, this isn't just wildfire. I was going to say, it's not just Pacific Northwest related. This is the losses in Florida. Mm-hmm. And you remember, it wasn't just homes that were lost in Florida. It was businesses and buildings and entire strip malls, right? Lost in Florida. Mm-hmm. It was tornadoes.
Yeah,
in the Midwest. It was hail in Colorado and Texas. So remember when Texas froze and all of those pipes burst?
Yep.
Yeah, like that is all going into this. And guess what? We did contribute in the Pacific Northwest as well as the entire West Coast, because we did have stuff catch on fire. I think of Talent, Oregon is a good example. The area that burned there wasn't just residential. There was a lot of businesses.
In Detroit, we lost one of our insureds lost their entire business, burned to the ground, all five buildings.
Yep. So this is commercial. It is expensive because the buildings tend to be larger, and they tend to be just more expensive for like heating and cooling and
all kinds of things.
All of the things. And we're paying more to replace them because cement is more expensive.
So not only do we have inflation, you know, from just the losses, the inflation of what it costs to replace these buildings is also a contributing factor. So my prediction for 2024 is that commercial property is we're going to see more of the same. Probably some things are going to go up 20-25%. Some things are going to stay stable. I don't think anybody's insurance is going to go down.
No.
Just on the commercial property. There is going to be more, I believe, places where we won't be able to find adequate insurance, or if we do find adequate insurance, it'll end up being in the excess surplus lines market, or even maybe the FAIR plan. And that's kind of scary.
Talk about what the FAIR plan is for individuals. So California, I think, is very, very familiar with the California FAIR plan, but for Oregon, it's a little bit newer concept.
Right. Well, the FAIR plan has been around in Oregon for decades. And I mean, it's something I'm sure they did back in the 50s.
We just didn't use it
We didn't need to, because there was an open market for insurance. Someone would insure it before we got to the point where the FAIR plan was required. What the FAIR plan is a program run by the state of Oregon that the state of Oregon basically has a way of having insurance companies contribute to a fund, and the premiums go into from the risk that they insure go into the fund, and then if there's more losses than there are in the fund, the state of Oregon contributes. And it's an insurance of last resort. And let me tell you, it's expensive and it's lousy insurance. Literally, we're talking about basic
form. Just say the state runs it. And so then that's the quality.
I mean, you're just from a perils point of view, it's basic form. You know, fire, wind, hail, smoke, riot, civil commotion, vehicle damage, falling objects, and that's it. And so that's not very broad coverage from what we're expecting. But it is available. And if you happen to have a business that has a mortgage and you need to have insurance, we can get insurance for you there. One of the drawbacks on it is that they have limited capacity. I think the most they will do on any one risk is
$600,000.
And if you have $1 million business, that's leaving you with
$400,000 somewhere else.
Somewhere else or just to self-insure.
Yep.
And that's not good. So that's what's happening on commercial property.
Yep. So going on the other side, liability.
General liability insurance is also under stress, not as much as we'd expect as property. There has been claim inflation. There's been repair inflation. 3 years ago, just an example, I just did some work on a car that was in an accident. 3 years ago, the labor rate for repairing a vehicle at a body shop in Bend was in the $60 to $63 range and per hour. And now it's in the $69 to $75 an hour range. You know, so part of liability is with commercial auto, is if you damage somebody's property, it costs more to fix. And so that's going up. And then this claim inflation, juries are more generous.
More lawyers are actually looking for business in the insurance claim field, meaning that they're taking on clients and then suing the insurance company to get more money.
Yep.
And they're doing it proactively.
Yeah. Yep. So there's more of that going on. I don't think we're going to see double-digit increases on the general liability side, but we're definitely going to see increases.
All right. I have another two that sometimes go together and sometimes are separate. We kind of talk about them both a lot. Cyber and then errors and admission.
Okay. Well, cyber is something that's happening that's new. And it's finally getting... Like 3 or 4 years ago, it became prominent and we were able to start selling product. We're now getting into like the second generation of products that we're able to sell, and the prices are stabilizing a little bit, and they're more readily available, especially for small business. In the past, you know, lots of companies, insurance companies wanted like a $5,000 minimum premium for cyber, which is an awful lot of money for a small business that's trying to protect themselves. Cyber has more than just, you know, someone hacking into your system and stealing your data. There's ransom.
This is ransom. This is holding your data ransom. Mm-hmm. Actually, this happened to the radio station in town not that long ago. They literally were like, we can't access the music to play you. So we're just playing you some stuff. Like we don't have any ads running for like 2 or 3 days. Why? Their items were being held for ransom for money.
The hospital had a ransomware attack where they had gotten into the information, and what they had stolen was the data about people's healthcare and their
patient,
health.
The patient, personal identifiable information.
and they were threatening to
sell it
to everybody out, to whoever buys that out there. And that would have been a HIPAA violation. So there would have been, you know, fines from the government and fines from, you know, in potential lawsuits from the missing data. It was an incredible amount of stuff. So,
and cyber can help cover all of that.
Yeah.
They can even help in the midst of the loss. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the midst of the claim, you can call your cyber insurance company and say, hey, I need help. And they'll say, we've got people for that.
Right. One of the things that they can do is, and excluded in most cyber policies, is if you do get hacked and that information is stolen and sold out there to the people who buy that kind of thing.
The dark web,
yes. The coverage can help pay for the credit monitoring that we all know about. So if you have a credit card, or have anything to do with...
Or ever had your stuff stolen.
The stuff stolen. There's a there's credit monitoring businesses, and you may have to buy a credit monitoring account for a year or maybe two for all of your customers. And, you know, it might only be when you're buying in bulk like that, it might only be $50 a customer, but you have to multiply that times thousands, and that can be an incredible amount of money. So cyber is something that we're seeing more.
I think it's more easily available to the everyday business owner.
Right.
Not too expensive.
No. Yeah. Not outrageously expensive. One of the other things that is continuing to be a problem is employment-related practices or employment practices liability insurance. What is that? That is when your employees sue you for...
Or it could be a person that wanted to be an employee sues you.
Yeah. I mean, what it covers is people who are going to sue you because you had a hostile workplace. You didn't hire them. You fired them. They felt unjustly. You didn't promote them for, you know, all of these kind of things, sexual harassment, all the things that people can sue their employer for. And so if you have employees, and you need to be thinking about making sure that this exposure is covered.
And what are you seeing for costs next year? Do you think it's going to be pretty flat or going up? Because I feel like there's more and more lawsuits on this.
I think that we're going to get probably a pretty standard increase on that, probably 3-4%. I don't think we're going to see a lot of increases on that. With cyber, very few people have cyber right now. I mean,
I think there's more and more people are getting it. I would say even from our customer base it's if you're handling anybody's personal identifiable information, if you are handling credit cards at this point, if you're doing any anything of that sort, mm-hmm. even in businesses that are keeping their employee documents, mm-hmm. if those get stolen.
Yeah. So be careful about putting employee documents on your computer or online. And if you're storing that in the cloud, someone can get to that. Then all of a sudden, everything about that employee is known to somebody, and they can create identity theft.
So just buy cyber.
So think about buying cyber insurance.
Yeah.
One of the things we didn't talk about is auto.
Business auto.
Business auto is kind of like personal auto, and it's being pressured by all the same issues. Again, inflation, repair inflation, claim inflation.
Yeah, all of the things. It's costing more money to replace the vehicles. Mm-hmm. We got a stat today in my email that used car prices are still up 47.9%. So if you had a vehicle and then it was damaged and you wanted to buy a used vehicle or similar and like kind, it's going to cost 50% more than it did like a couple years ago.
One of the things I talk to customers about is when cars get old, I often recommend that they drop the comp and collision on a vehicle. And that's because you have a 20-year-old car. I mean, this car was a person that could vote. And it may have only been a 30,000.
When your car can vote, get rid of it.
Well, don't get rid of it. You just change the insurance on this.
Change the insurance when your car can vote.
So because, you know, all right, it was a $25,000 car 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And what's it worth today? Well, I was talking to someone and he had a Honda Element and he was saying, I don't think I want to get rid of the comp on this. It was a 2003 Honda Element. I said, well, let's look it up and see what a used one costs.
Like Kelley Blue Book?
Online, Carfax or any of the other car
pricing
and sales online deals. And so I popped onto that. And here was a car that was a Honda Element, which was like a $25,000 car 20 years ago. And they were averaging $10,000 to $14,000 a piece. And I'm going, you know, I wouldn't, if I had a $14,000 vehicle, I wouldn't drive it without comprehensive and collision. That's a lot of money to lose to have to go out and do it. If it dropped down to like a $3,000 car.
So if you're like 1992.
Yeah, if it was a 92, that's a 30-year-old vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it worth? $2,000 to $3,000? Then you don't insure it for comp and collision because by the time you spend the premium and have to deal with the deductible, it's why put yourself through the hassle?
And I another thing I think that's becoming more common in the commercial vehicle space as well is either the driver tracking or video cameras within the vehicle.
Video cameras are making a difference because there's somebody pulls in front of you, you've got a video document about that. Not all insurance companies are given credit for that, but some are.
And I think it would help even if it was a claim, maybe with like a younger driver or even a seasoned driver, maybe they were making a stop somewhere, something happened, and they can say, look at, I literally have the video of this person
running the red light.
Running the red light or not acting appropriately on the road, and you could see how that...
Yeah, cutting me off. You
whatever
know.
It is. Yes, yeah.
All the things that happen on the road. So cameras are going to be a bigger part.
More and more people.
A bigger part of our future as the technology gets better for them.
Yeah, I agree. And then just, I don't actually, the tracking, I think that's just more for individuals.
More for tracking.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound doom and gloom here. About what's going on with commercial insurance over the next year.
We got workers' comp too.
Workers' comp. Actually, good news on workers' comp in Oregon. Workers' comp has been pretty stable.
Yeah, that's great news.
We've got one line of business that's being pretty stable.
And then the other one that we've kind of come across, liquor liability.
Oh, yeah, that's... You had to bring that up.
I had to bring that one up.
Liquor liability is kind of a mess right now. We're probably going to see companies exiting the market, just quitting the whole thing.
This is because of increased claims, right?
Increased claims.
Yeah. So we're seeing not like a little tiny claim, but like if somebody has a claim, it's big.
Because there's no, you know, you overserve somebody, it's almost considered, you know, you have to have an incredible defense to get out of it.
And we've seen even if you didn't serve somebody, but they just happened to be the last place that they stopped and peed, mm-hmm. like you're responsible.
Yep.
You know, it's...
You got to make sure you keep records. We know of a case where the defense is pretty well documented. We're still expecting it to be a good size claim.
Yeah. And you're saying good size, like...
Hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a $100,000 liquor law claim anymore. Everybody's suing for $1 million plus.
Yeah.
And so we could be seeing some real, real changes in the liquor law market, especially for bars and taverns.
So if you serve liquor at your establishment and it is a large part of your income, you might see this coming up in 2024 on your premiums.
You probably will. So just be aware.
All right. So overall review is there's a couple of markets that are staying pretty stable. Property, GL, liquor liability, and business auto are not one of them. They are all increasing probably in price. Mm-hmm. When you get your renewal, just be ready.
Yeah. Yes. And if you have any questions, give us a call. If you get a outrageous increase and you're not one of our customers, give us a call. Maybe we can help.
And then this was something that came up recently too, is if you're shopping for insurance, if you're using an independent agent like us at Bancorp Insurance, we're going to shop multiple different locations. But if you go to another independent agent and you give them all the same information, they are also going to shop multiple locations, but we can't shop them at the same time. So if we put in your information to one of our carriers and they say, we already have it, it means that we can no longer shop that market.
Yeah.
So, we call it getting blocked.
Yeah.
You get blocked from the market. So I know a lot of people are shopping right now. So I would suggest shopping smartly. So if you're using an independent agent, just use one. And then maybe check with other captive agents or individuals who only work with one type of insurance company. A good example might be State Farm.
Or country companies.
Or farmers. And just check with them for their one product and then work with an independent agent for the multiple products. So then you're not duplicating your efforts and making, honestly, a lot more phone calls than you need to.
Yep.
I'm trying to make your life easier here. All right. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. You can also find us online at www.bancorpinsurance.com. You can make an appointment right online there to speak with one of our individuals, either over the phone or in person at our downtown Lapine office. Thank you so much for being with us and have a beautiful 2024.
Produced by Carver Sound Productions. For more information on podcast production services, visit carversoundproductions.com.